Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
And now, number 7, 2014 and 15, if you will. Is Israel again surrounded by Islamic, not just radicals, but the apocalyptic? They're not just radical. They don't necessarily want land and title. What they want is their Mahdi to show up. That's Khomeini. Today, is it safe to say that they are surrounded, Israel once again surrounded by Islamic states breathing daily threats to their extinction? Let's review real quickly. April in 2014, the first lunar eclipse. Let's see what was going on. In March, the World Health Organization reported a major Ebola outbreak in Guinea in Western Africa. Do you remember that? As of September of this year, 28,171 suspected cases and 11,306 deaths have been reported. Do you remember how frightened everybody was? Closing down the airports? Personal opinion, certainly thank you to the training and technique and the passion of trained medical personnel. Thank you very much. But in my personal opinion, by the grace of God, did that stop? May 2014, a two-state solution to try to divide Israel in half, give half to the Palestinians, with Eastern Jerusalem being their capital. The two-state solution talks break down with the kidnap and murder of three Jewish teens and the discovery of tunnels of death, quote-unquote, into Israel from Gaza. Do you remember that? June 29th of 2014, a little group called ISIS declares its caliphate. That's within this time. July 2014, Operation Protective Eagle. That was when Israel had to go into Gaza to stop rockets from being sailed in. And ostensibly, we did supply arms, did the U.S., though officially supporting Israel's moving into Gaza to stop rockets. If you do deeper reading, Obama administration actually aligns with the ideology of Hamas, Qatar, and Turkey against Israel. Do some research. October 8, 2014, the second lunar eclipse on Tabernacles. What was going on then? October 2014, the separation grows between U.S. and Israel over the Iran nuclear talks. U.S. seeks normalized relationships with Iran. What is Iran about, you guys? What does Khomeini say whenever he gets behind a microphone? 2 days ago, by the end of this particular treaty, what is it, 25 years? He quipped, he says one thing in English for the English media. He says another thing in Arabic. He said in Arabic, Israel will not exist in 25 years. November 13th of 2014, ISIS now claims territory in Libya, Egypt, and Algeria and Yemen. December 2014, Netanyahu dissolves his parliamentary government in order to eliminate pro-Obama influences, undermining what he wants to do there in Israel. And then new elections, of course, were then in March of 2015. Also in March 2015, Benjamin Netanyahu gives the Iran nuclear speech to the joint sessions of Congress. How many of you saw that? I wept. As standing in our combined Senate and House chambers was the leader of Israel saying, don't do this. You are practically guaranteeing a nuclear war in the region. Don't do it. Then he looked down the center aisle and his eyes raised up to a medallion that's in the back. And he says, I see that in your chamber, you have a portrait of the lawgiver, Moses. Do you guys see that as far as America goes, That's a little significant. Netanyahu wins a decisive victory. By the way, did you know that the Obama administration sent in political advisors, politically savvy election analysts and experts to buttress people running against Netanyahu? Did you know that? This administration has done more to separate ourselves from Israel than any other administration ever. And what does God say in Genesis, with great respect, Mr. President? Genesis 12, verse 6, I will bless those that bless you, Israel, and I will curse those that curse you. Netanyahu wins a decisive victory anyway, to the head scratching of all the political experts. Great Britain will try to draft in the very near future a UN resolution, again for a two-state solution, based on pre-1967 borders. East Jerusalem, the capital of the Palestinians. And now let's get to April the 4th, 2015, the third lunar eclipse. In April of that year, the U.S. UN representative Samantha Power, in more or less closed interactions, but it leaked out, she advises House subcommittee that the Obama administration will not support and no longer support Israel in the UN. May 2015, not long ago, U.S. Senate disregards the constitutional process of ratifying foreign treaties. Did you know that the Constitution is clear about that? On how we are supposed to ratify treaties with foreign dignitaries and nations? And this president said, this is how it's gonna be, like it or lump it. Executive order, if you will. U.S. Senate disregards the constitutional process of ratifying foreign treaties and passes a bill ensuring no Senate blockage of the Iran nuclear deal. June 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court rules 5-4 to override states' authority establishing same-sex marriage and now enforces it throughout the entire country. Was that significant for America? June 30th, 2015, there's another sign. If you haven't seen this, are you ready? Go ahead and go to our next slide. This is from Star Walk. You guys realize how cool this is. I take my iPad and I hold it up to the sky, and then it knows where I'm at, it knows where I'm facing, it knows that I'm in Reno, Nevada, and it tells me what all the stars are. Starting in 1968, the first computer program, based on the immutable and unchangeable laws that Johannes Kepler and Isaac Newton put forth, you put it into a computer, the heavens are moving with such precision, you can literally fast forward the film to the future or rewind the film to the past. I have one of those on my iPad. Used to be you have to go out every night at 6 o'clock or whatever, same time, and look where all the stars are, and then make charts, and then go back to bed. So watching things over a long period of time was quite tedious. With my Star Walk, I literally hit a button, and I can spin through day after day after day after day after day. How many of you remember the triple conjunction of Jupiter and Venus this last June? How many of you saw that? It was startling because Venus is the brightest heavenly object behind the sun and the moon. It's huge. The fourth brightest is Jupiter. And the fact that we saw them coming closer and closer and closer and closer, that was pretty cool, right? Let me show you this. This is the horizon. Can you see that? Go ahead and dim our lights just a little bit. You see the orange line? That's the ecliptic. That's the approximate path of the sun across the sky. And see the little W at the bottom? That's not George W. Bush, that's west. There's a horizon, if you will. This is what it looked like. Hit the go button. There is Venus. There is Jupiter. And here's what I want you to watch out for. Hit the go button again. There's Regulus, the king star, in the tribe of Judah. On June the 24th, can you see them drawing closer to each other? Hit the go button again. Here's June the 27th. Look how close they are. Hit the button again. And then on June 30th, they were practically right on top of each other. Jupiter and Venus get very close to one another on average about 11 times every 10 years. Not a big deal. How you look at things in the stars is you look at the horizon and then you go up by increments of degrees. In between the degrees, you have a smaller group of delineation called minutes, and smaller still are seconds. So between 2 degrees, as you look on the horizon, you have 60 minutes, and you can divide any one of the minutes into 60 seconds. This June was so amazing, they passed so closely to each other that they were less than a third of a degree apart. That's unusual. And what's even more unusual, they did it right nearby the star Regulus. This hasn't happened for 2,000 years. Well, when was the last time? Hit our go button. Just for grins, I followed it on around. There was July the 14th. See how they're close? Venus is doing what's called a retrograde. If you watch the stars, go out the same night, then it's there, then it's there. Sometimes they'll stop and they'll actually circle back. A visual effect, much like when you pass a car on the freeway and for a moment, it looks like the background relative to the other car is moving backwards. It's a similar understanding. It's a retrograde. It looks like a little circle, then continues its march. On the 21st, notice it makes a perfect triangle. There's Regulus, if you will, the king star. There's Jupiter, the daddy star, if you will. And Venus is the what star? Mommy star. That's very significant astronomical talk. Go ahead. Something else happened. How many of you guys know that this was the 14th anniversary of September 11th? 14th is interesting because 14th are 2 sevens. The towers went down on a Shemitah. 7 years later, we had the most significant on the Shemitah 2001. We had a terrible economic recession that took us many years to get out of. 7 years later, on another Shemitah, what would have been our 2008, was the single worst crash since the Great Depression. Remember how the Dow Jones fell 777 points? Was God trying to tell us something? Will there be one more economic shake and shaking? Michael and Kelly, all the morning shows, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, all printed these pictures on the 10th of September. And they said, look at that! An atmospheric coolness anomaly. A rainbow over what, everybody? What's the large tower in the foreground? That's the Freedom Tower. That's now the rebuilt World Trade Center number 1. Hit the go button. Here's another shot. Look at that shot. This made newspapers, you guys, all over the world. Has there ever been a rainbow over Lower Manhattan? Of course there has. But why this day, the day before the remembrance of the towers? If the Shemitah is trying to tell America, hey, America, you are moving away from me. And then sent us Isaiah 9 harbingers to shake us up. But there's still a chance. But there's still a chance. And we have ignored him by and large for 2 Shemitahs. And now the day before this next and last Shemitah, there's a rainbow. One more picture. Look at that shot. And there's the Freedom Tower from the Brooklyn Bridge. That's not all, you guys. You know what happened the next day? Hit the go button. That's in the Saudi Arabian city of Mecca. That square draped structure in the center is called the Kaaba. And you'll notice that there's a circular structure around. There's 3 levels. And the Kaaba is a bit of meteor that fell to the earth before Abraham. And it went back all the way to the moon god before Abraham even showed up. That the people would walk around the Kaaba 7 times and then run over and throw rocks at the devil, a little wash, a wadi called Mina. They've been doing it ever since. And then when Muhammad shows up, he gets rid of all the other single gods, or all the other gods, and then makes a single god worship of Allah. But he keeps this practice in continuance. You'll notice that there's a tremendous construction project going on. Now, it used to be you could only circle the Kaaba 7 times at the platform level. But as you can see, now you can do it on a couple different levels. Huge construction. What happened yesterday? Hit the go button. Yesterday on September 11th, huge freak storm, lightning struck the construction site. Next picture. Gust of wind took a huge crane and blew it over. It fell onto the largest mosque in the world in Mecca within eyesight of the Kaaba and killed, to this point, 107 people, and hundreds more were injured. Oh, come on, Steve, that's a coincidence. You know what a rainbow is, right? It's a promise that God says, I always keep my word. Are these signs? Has God turned on four warning lights to the radical and apocalyptic Islam? The world demanding their Israel's distinction, soon aided and emboldened by a U.S. treaty with Iran. Is God shining four lights again? I want to read you something by retired Navy Captain Jim Dodge. He has done more research than I've ever seen about the Star of Bethlehem. I gave that away, didn't I? The triple conjunction of Jupiter, Venus, and Regulus hasn't happened in this close of proximity in 2,000 years. When was the last time it happened, you guys? It happened June 17th, 2 BC. The Messiah star. And one more thing, 8 months in front of 2 BC, in August of 3 BC, rising in the east, would have been another conjunction, very rare, within 10 months. Another conjunction, this time not in the west, this time in the east. And this time not in Regulus, but in Virgo. And the star that they were by was Spica, which means what, everybody? Virgin. In the east. Was that what the wise men saw? And the 10 months that they traveled and then showed up at the Messiah star when it's converging around Regulus? This guy, retired Navy Captain Jim Dodge, did some startling research. It's amazing. If you want to check it out more, www.thechristmasstar.org. Fascinating, fascinating. By the way, Revelation chapter 12, I saw a sign appear in heaven. A woman was about to give birth. She was clothed with the sun and the moon was at her feet. And then there's the devil waiting for the child to snatch up the child as soon as he is born. Does that have anything to do with 3 BC August? Because rising on the eastern horizon, the sun would have been in what star constellation? Virgo, clothed with the sun. The moon was literally at her feet. And then around her was Venus and Jupiter around Spica. Does that in any way speak to Revelation 12? I don't know, for your consideration. I'm going to end with this quote. Retired Navy Captain John Dodge said, probably the most compelling evidence that God is taking America and the world's efforts to impose its will on Israel very seriously comes in the form of the rare reappearance of the Messiah star on June 30th of 2015. The timing and appearance of this most significant of God's heavenly signs is not an accident. And it is not without precedent. 2,000 years ago, as Israel was nearing the end of a 1,000-year decline that led to its destruction, the Christmas star appeared across the then known world on 17 June 2 BC to announce the first coming of God's promised Messiah and Savior of the world. Now, 2,000 years later, America, a nation that has been even more blessed than Israel, is in nearly complete rebellion against God. And since its leaders are now joined with the world in burdening themselves against God's people and God's holy city, the appearance of the Messiah star poses exactly the same warning against those rebellious to God today. So is it too late, America? Is there any way at this point in time that the nation can come to its senses and repent of its sins and return to God? There is one great example in American history when this happened, and it's worth considering. 152 years ago, there was another critical point in American history. The Great Civil War had been raging for nearly 2 years, and by March of 1863, the Union had not won a significant single victory for the North. It was a desperate time when the nation's leader, President Abraham Lincoln, recognized the signs of God's displeasure and pulled the Union back from the brink when he issued a proclamation for a national day of fasting and prayer on 30 March 1863 with these words: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, and no other nation has ever known. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power." Remember the rainbow that I showed you guys? Remember what the rainbow festooned on the Supreme Court Judgment Day? Our White House. God's rainbow, by promise that he is always going to keep his word, has been wrenched out of its context and now wrestled to represent and mean, of course, an entirely different matter. To humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. America repented, and 3 months after acknowledging that the nation's collective sin to God, the Union forces won a decisive victory at Gettysburg that became the turning point for the war. The nation regained God's grace and abundant blessings and turned itself around, never looked back again. Let's all stand together. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I believe that the patterns we looked at in previous weeks, the prophecies, namely that there is a nation by the name of Israel on the planet, and these signs that I've shown today, the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter that everybody noticed and everybody talked about, but hardly anyone really dug into the reason what's going on. That hasn't shown up for 2,000 years. And then the rainbow on September 10th, that made all the news. And then the terrible accident at Mecca on September 11th. Lord, are these signs? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know something. He's coming back soon. And it is very conceivable with the blood moons and everything going on and the signs. But if he came right now, would you be ready? If you're not sure, today is the day to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. God paid for all of my sins because I am a helpless sinner and I can't stop. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know that your finished work on the cross paid for my sin. And with my mind, I accept your salvation. And with my heart, I give you my life. Save me from the 7-year great tribulation that is quickly bearing down on planet Earth. I want to be yours, Lord. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So many today. Thank you, Lord. Raise it up there high. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So many.
listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form, or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.